Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit our podcast page, BibleStudy.ASBZone.com, where you can find some links to our Bible study resources, as well as all of our previous episodes. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for your mercy and your goodness to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit. We ask for wisdom and understanding as we enter into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, Does God Encourage Hatred? Our passage for this study is Romans 9:13-14. And it says, And is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Okay, so here Paul is quoting, in his letter to the Romans, he's quoting an Old Testament passage, and he uses the term hatred, and it's God who's speaking. And so we have God saying that Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. And of course, that begs the question, is there unrighteousness with God? So Paul asks that, and he says, God forbid. So we're going to look at why God appears to be encouraging, in some instances, hatred. There are other passages that people might remember that are similar. In Luke 14:26, for instance, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. Okay? But then we have 1 John 4:20, which says, If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Okay, so here we have these two sets of verses that seems to imply that God hates, and that he wants us to hate people, and then another verse that says, oh, if you hate your brother, you're done. So how do we reconcile these? Well, reconciling them from the New Testament is a little bit more difficult. And that's the reason for that, is that in the New Testament, every instance of the word hate comes from a single Greek word, miseo. In your concordance, that would be G3404, miseo. In the Old Testament, however, there are three words that are used to denote hate, that are translated as hate in English. Three Hebrew words. One is sane, which is H8130. That has the most instances. There is saw sene, right? So the first one was saw ne. The next one is sene, and I'm just dealing with the phonetic sounds. And that's H8131. It's a derivative of the previous one. Okay, and it seems to be the Chaldean word for hate. So the other ones were Hebrew. This was Chaldean. It only has one instance. But there's another word, sautam, which shows up earlier and not as often as the others, but it shows up a few times, and it has an additional definition associated with it. It's not just about hating someone or hating something or having personal hatred. It adds the connotation of holding a grudge. Okay? Holding a grudge. Now, what's interesting is that even where the Bible talks about God hating evil or asking us to hate evil, it does not use the word that involves holding a grudge. It just uses the word that says that you have an opposition to something, that you dislike something. The passage that Paul quoted in Romans 9 is really found in Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. And here's what it reads in verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Okay, that's interesting. So here we have God loving Esau, loving Jacob, and hating Esau. Still seems a little bit suspicious. Well, there's one more thing about hatred that the Old Testament, that the Hebrew conveys a little bit better than the Greek. Essentially, what we're going to find out is that just in English, hatred always means something bad, right? So it has a very narrow connotation. When we translate a word to hate, we just mean despising or otherwise disliking someone. In Hebrew, there's a little bit of nuance, right? There's a word that always means hating someone and even adds grudges. But there's another word that's a little bit broader. And in Greek, the word is always broad because they only use one word. So even when they're talking about not hating, but loving less, comparatively less, they still use the same word. Okay, so there's only one word in Hebrew. There's only one word in Greek. Greek has the broadest definition encapsulated in one word. Hebrew is next with a couple of words, but one of them having a broad definition and one of them having a narrow definition. And in English, we have only one word, but it only has one definition, right? It's very narrow. Hatred is always negative in English. And we run into these problems sometimes when we're studying the Word of God. It can be difficult when you look at everything strictly from the language that you're used to, because not everything translates straight into English. In fact, neither Hebrew nor Greek translate straight into English without problems. There are certain things that are assumed in those other languages and are not found in English and have to be supplied. And there are certain things that are assumed in English but not found in other languages. And sometimes that means things look like they're lacking. Let's go over, since we're talking about Esau and Jacob, we're going to go into that same era, but we're going to find another instance. Actually, I forgot to do something, so let me do it now. Sautam, that word that involved grudges, is used 5 times. And I'm going to mention those 5 times right now because it's kind of important. So this is hatred with grudges. Genesis 27:41, it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob, right? So Esau hated Jacob. He didn't just dislike Jacob. He maintained a grudge. That's the word that's used, right? Esau maintained a grudge to a Jacob because of the blessing. And then, of course, they go on to say what he said in his heart, so you can see it. In Genesis 49:23, the verse says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. This, Genesis 49, is where Jacob is lying in his deathbed and is issuing his prophecy to his sons, right? He's essentially setting forth their prophetic futures. And this discussion about the archers have sorely grieved him. This is talking about Joseph. So Jacob is indicating that his brothers hated him with a grudge. Now, in Genesis 50, verse 15, we get a little bit of irony. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. That hatred also includes a grudge. So they believe that they are worried that he will hold a grudge against them. Right? Not just be annoyed with them, but maintain a grudge. It's quite interesting, however, as the Bible records the hatred of Joseph's brothers to him, it does not use the grudge form. It does not use sautam. It uses sauné. It's not until Jacob is speaking prophetically that he says there was grudge holding in there. Okay? And there are a couple other verses. I said five, but it's actually six verses. So it's three in Genesis, two in Job, and one in the Psalms. Now, let's go to another place where this hatred thing is mentioned, and a little bit of clarity is provided that helps us to understand it a lot better. Genesis 29, 30 and 31, we find this. And he went in also unto Rachel. So this is Jacob, when he had done the work to marry Rachel, but then the father tricked him, right? Laban tricked him and set him up so that he ended up going in unto Leah. It says he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Okay, by implication, he loves Leah, but he loves Rachel more. He was longing after Rachel the whole time. That's who he had planned to marry, so it's not surprising that he loved her. And the Bible never suggests that he was in opposition to Leah. It's just that he wasn't planning to marry her. And granted, you'd have to agree that she was part of the trickery that Laban played on her, right? You could say, yes, she had to obey her father, et cetera, and so on and so forth. But she was probably more than willing to participate, because this was the only way she was going to get anyone, at least in her mind and Laban's mind. And so she wasn't completely innocent, right, in this matter, being the older sister, among other things. So in any event, she cooperated with this. And it says, and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served with him yet 7 other years. Right. But look at how the Lord interprets this. It's pretty interesting, but it helps us to understand every other instance of this love-hatred thing. Genesis 29, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the verse before says that he loved Rachel more than Leah, and the next verse says that Leah was hated. So being loved less than someone, to a lesser degree than someone, can also be interpreted as hatred according to the Hebrew word that is used, right? Now it makes a lot more sense when Christ says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Look at Matthew 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So if you take these two verses, right? If you love your father or your mother more than Christ, you're not worthy of Christ. And if any man come unto Christ they need to hate, or in other words, love the following people less than Christ. They need to hate their father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and even their own life. In order to be a disciple of Christ, we need to love Christ more than we love ourselves, our families, etc. Okay? Now, in 1 John 4, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, that is talking about hatred in the way that we generally understand the term in English. You cannot be in opposition to your brother and think that you can love God when you can see your brother and you can't see God. Okay? So 1 John 4:20 is not in opposition to the other verses we've been using, because in 4:20, the word hatred is used in the context that we expect it to be used, or that we normally would use it in English. Right? He who despises his brother but says that he loves God is a liar. But Christ is not asking us to despise father or mother. He's asking us not to put anyone before him. Right? So he says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He's not asking you not to love them. In Luke, it does say, if any man come unto me and hate not father or mother, but we're looking at hate in Luke, remember, one Greek word that's used to convey the wide range of feeling. And he's using it exactly the way that it was used in Genesis 29. He loved Rachel more than Leah. So the Lord saw that Leah was hated. Right? She was loved less. And by the way, that should indicate something to you. That's very important. As it pertains to marriage, there's only room enough for one person to get all of that love. Right? As a parent, I have love for my children equally. As a spouse, I do not have love for different women equally. Right? Different people get different kinds of love. I love my mother. I love my sister. But I love my wife differently from my mother and differently from my sister. So there's my, and my sister's blessed because she's the only sister, so she gets 100% of the sister love, which I'm sure she enjoys. A mom, you typically only have one natural mother, and mothers-in-law get a different kind of love, and I had a great mother-in-law, so I'm not saying that sarcastically or anything of the sort. But the love for the spouse is different. And so it is in the case of Rachel and Leah, it was not really possible to love them equally anyway, because God never designed that the love of a spouse should be equal to the love of some other spouse, right? You're only supposed to have one. That way, each party in that relationship could get 100% of the love of that relationship. Polygamy interferes with that and creates what we see in Genesis 29:30, in which case someone is loved and someone is loved more. And that's problematic, because the way the Lord sees it, especially because it's marriage, is that someone is hated. Right? Loved less in a scenario where there's not supposed to be less love. To answer the question, does God encourage hatred? Not against people. But here's where he does. The Bible does give us some clear places where hatred is exactly the way you would think it is. In Psalm 97, verse 10, it says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Right? Love the Lord, hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. These are the things that the Bible encourages us to hate. When it comes to people, we are encouraged in relation to God to love people less, so that there so that we are not putting anyone above God. So God is to be loved more. Because if we love God more, we will be able to love everyone else properly. If we love God less, we will be putting idols of some sort ahead of God, and that creates a problem for all of the relationships. So in the end, at the end of the day, God loves us, and he loves us, he set a covenant with us. In Malachi, the verse that the passage that Paul quotes, God says, I've loved you, Israel, I've loved you. And Israel is saying, wherein have you loved us? And the Lord says, wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? But I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Now, the interesting thing about this, if you continue in Malachi, you see that it's because Esau continues to rebel against God. So God loving Esau less is more an issue of Esau loving God less, which is very interesting. At the end of the day, God loves us with an everlasting love. And he made a covenant with Israel, which all of us can be a part of, right? We can be Abraham's seed and heir of the promise. He made a covenant with Israel, and he desires us to love him first, love him supremely, love everyone else as an outpouring of that love, and to love and to hate evil as the only thing we truly hate. Just remember when you're studying that the words that you see in English don't always correspond in their meaning evenly to the words that they were translated from, because there's often far more nuance in the languages in the ancient Hebrew or ancient Greek than there is in modern English. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your love and your mercy and your kindness towards us. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for helping us to get to the root of this love and hatred. Help us to understand that we need to hate evil, but we need to love you supremely, that we will be able to love our family, friends, and fellow men, and have a burden for souls that we can share the love of God with them. Please bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find Rightly Divide the Word of Truth on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you obtain your podcasts. Please feel free to contact us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. Whether you have questions, comments, or concerns, we look forward to hearing from you. If you're finding this channel to be a blessing, please take the time to share our page with others, and always keep our ministry in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study His Word.